Now this morning we're into Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 21. And I just want to remind us of what we are doing here. We are opening the Bible, the Scriptures, providentially given to us by God, through people whom he chose to reveal the truth. Handed down through all these years, and we have before us this morning the Word of God. For me, for Darren, for Cindy, for Wade, for Derek, for Faye, and all those who are listening to this tape. This is the Word of God. It is truth. It is the truth, the definite article. And it is the only absolute truth. It is the standard of truth. And throughout history, philosophers, and including Pilate, have asked, what is truth? I heard about a man who made a study of that word and that subject of truth through Webster's dictionary. And I may not have this exactly correct, but it's close. In 1853, Webster's dictionary described truth as a standard set by God's word. Later on, in the early 1900s, Webster's dictionary described truth as related to the moral standard of Jesus Christ. In 1996, Webster's dictionary described truth as to whatever the speaker himself believed to be true. Now that's where we are today, in relativism and intolerance. Truth is whatever you believe it to be. And if you say something to me, I can't contradict that because it's truth to you. That is chaos. We have this morning truth. I am so thankful to have a standard of truth, something in which we can trust and follow and believe. And we have been led providentially in the last few weeks to study Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21, through the Apostle Paul, chosen by God to give us the theology for the church today. And this is his prayer, and it includes six requests. And I would suggest that we take this prayer and get alone and pray these requests for ourselves. Otherwise, it's meaningless. This is not something generally, it's for me, it's for you. These are the requests, and we've been through those. Now today we come to verses 20 and 21, which is Paul's final statement regarding the prayer. Let me read it again, beginning at verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. That's the first request. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Second. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend. There's a third and a fourth together. With all the saints, what is the width and length and depth and height, and that you may know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Six requests. And how different they are than the way we pray today. You could say, what is the apostles' concern for fellow believers? What did he want for those Ephesians people? He wanted spiritual maturity. He wanted them to grow up and be men and women of God and to have these things as a part of their life. And what does God want for you this morning? And what does God want for me? These same requests. Get before the Lord and pray these into your life by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now in verses 20 and 21, he comes to a benediction or a doxology. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen. Now, this is sometimes called a benediction. What is a benediction? Well, it's an act of blessing. And if you go to a formal liturgical church at the close of the service, the leader will usually stretch out his hand as if to bless the congregation. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless, so on. Several benedictions in Scripture. I think this is also a doxology. And what is a doxology? A doxology is a tribute of praise. It's been set to song, and we sing doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. So we're going to look at this, verses 20 and 21, as the doxology of praise and glory that we need. First of all, the direction of praise. He writes in verse 20, now to him. The direction of our praise should be to the Lord God. And too much of praise today is directed toward men and women. But we need to be careful that we give praise to the Lord God Almighty. The second thing we notice here is the content of praise. What is to be the content of our praise? Verse 21, to him be glory. God is glorious. We are simply recognizing that, confessing that, and saying, yes, our God is glorious. And it's a good word and a great word and reveals his value, his worth. God is worthy. The third thing we notice here in this doxology is the vehicle of praise. And he says it's in the church. To him be glory in the church. Now this is exclusive. Only the regenerate, born again believer in Christ can give glory to God. Unbelievers cannot give glory to God. Only the church can do that. It is exclusive. So this morning we have the direction of praise to the Lord, the content of praise, be glory, the vehicle, it is in the church. Also in this passage we have the agent of praise. To him, in verse 20, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. That is all inclusive. Only through Christ. The only acceptable praise is through Christ. Amazing, isn't it? No human being can give praise to the Lord God except through Christ. He said, no one can come to the Father, except through me. And then also in this passage we have the extent of praise. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus forever and ever. We can praise him this morning. We can give him glory. And we can do that the rest of our days on this earth. But it doesn't end there. We will praise the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit forever and ever. It'll never end. Because his worth and his value will never end. He will always be as great this morning, as great forever as he is this morning. Never changes. Now, I wanted to emphasize this morning the reason for praise. It's because of his worth and his glory. But Paul mentions something else here that must grab our attention. The reason for praise in verse 20. Now to him who is able. So we praise God for his ability. God is able. And his ability is unlimited. And I, of course, love to use the word sovereign. Powerfully able, unlimited. Who is able? We have a problem this morning. Do we have something that looks so impossible? He's able. Blind see, lame walk. But more than that, sinners are saved. Conflicts are healed. Provision, protection is there. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power. To the power that works in us. Why praise God? Because of his ability and because of his power. And again, his power is unlimited. To control the flow of history and bring us to the point where we are in the world this morning. And he is well able to solve every problem in the world this morning. The power. God's power is unlimited. But now here's something more astounding that should grab our attention and our hearts this morning. According to the power, not out there, but the power that works in us. The power that works in me. The power that brings me here to worship and to be with God's people. And I know where I would be without his power. I wouldn't be in church. I wouldn't be worshiping. I'd be serving my own interests. His power works in us to bring us from death, spiritual death, to make us alive. Jesus said, "He who believes in me has everlasting life." This morning we have life. We are spiritually alive. Why? Because of his power. We believe. Perhaps many of the neighbors don't believe. Why do we believe? Because he caused us to believe. There is no merit on our part. There is no wisdom on our part. He causes us to believe. That's his power. He causes us to love. The unbelieving world does not love the Lord Jesus Christ. We love him because he first loved us. We worship him because of his power. Now, the human instrument for writing this prayer and this doxology is the Apostle Paul. If you ever wanted to think through the power of God, think of the Apostle Paul. Hardly a person in history who is where Paul is. And he himself proclaimed himself to be the chief of sinners. And those were not idle words. Now in that list, I'm second. And you're third. Think of what God did. Took this blaspheming Christian hater, putting people in prison, arranging for their murder, separating families, and now here he is, an apostle, loving the Lord, loving God's people. And he said this, "I do all things for the sake of God's elect." And he suffered every kind of abuse you can think of to bring that about. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above. Now there is a further word here about his reasons to praise for his power and his ability, and it's the extent of his power. What could you say from this passage is the extent of God's power. Paul says it. He said it's above. It's beyond all that we could ask or think. Now, there are times when I think I'm thinking pretty big. I've asked God for a lot of big, big things. And I've thought highly. But it's nothing compared to what he can do in the extent of his power. Now, there are two terms here that we could say are double superlatives. Exceedingly, abundantly, above all. Now, Paul is spiritually inspired, but he's also human, and it seems like there's almost a struggle here to use terms to convey what he's thinking. Exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think is the extent of God's power. What great truth for our hearts today. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, forever and ever. I have to ask myself, do I have this tribute of praise in my life? And I have to ask you, do you have this tribute of praise in your life? Not just a one-time event, not just Sunday morning, but is this your life? Is this how you live, giving glory to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all? That's the purpose of this. This is life. This is our Christian life. And if this is true in our life, the other things come along. If this isn't true, other things become great problems. Live a doxology. Live a tribute of praise now unto him. This afternoon, get alone and write out your own. The psalmist said, give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Well, that's what Paul is doing here. And that's what our prayer is for our lives, that we will live this doxology. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, which is really in itself above all that we could think about. What great truth. And what a great direction for our life is this doxology we have here. Make it true in our hearts, we pray, as you've caused us to believe. Cause us now to bring glory to your holy name. For the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. In his name, amen.